Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 through verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Then centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He spoke about faith. He said, I haven't seen this faith even in Israel. Israel, these Jews who know God, they know the true God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, but I haven't found such a great faith. This centurion who was heathen, man, he had so great faith. So God, commanded him that he had great faith. And this is a rebuke for the Jews that the Jews never had this kind of faith, even in Israel. So he came, Jesus, the centurion, he said, Lord, my servant is sick of palsy, he's dying. And he said, I'm going to come and heal him. And he was astonished. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Because for heathen, God is so far away. I was Muslim before, and as a Muslim, we believe that Allah is so far away, sitting on his throne, and we are just his slaves, no friends. We have no relationship. We just his slaves. We have to bow down and worship. That's what we do. But Jesus said, I called you my friends, not servants. So he's our friend. He calls us. He said, come to the throne of grace boldly. He wants us to go to him boldly and pray and seek his face and have relationship with him. So he was astonished that Jesus said, I'm going to come. And he said, no, I speak the word only. I'm not worthy even that you should come because you are Jews and I'm a Gentile, heathen. But Jesus went and he said, no, just speak the word only. So he believed in the power of the words because he was the man of authority. He said, I say to this man, do this, and he doeth it, go, and he goes, and come, he comes. So he believed in the power of the word. And thank God for the word of God, which has power. We need to believe in the power of the word of God, that when you share it with people, it will impact and influence on people, and it will save souls. And so this man never saw anything from Jesus. He just heard the fame of Jesus. He heard that Jesus was able to heal, and he just heard it. But he never saw any miracles from Jesus, but he had so great faith. Jesus said, I haven't seen anybody, even in Israel, having so great faith. But if you turn with me to John chapter 11, we read the passage about Mary and Martha and the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus tarried for 4 days. He didn't go there. He knew that Lazarus is going to die, and he wanted to show his glory. So in verse 20 to 22, we read, when Jesus went there to Bethany to see Mary and Martha to the funeral, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha said, if you were here, my brother Lazarus had not died. But it's too late now. That means it's too late. He's dead already. So she didn't have, this is a Jew woman, Martha. Jesus said, I haven't seen such a great faith, so great faith, not even in Israel. So Martha, who was a Jew in Israel, she didn't believe that Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. Not only Martha, but look at her sister, Mary, we read in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Again, she puts condition, if you were here, you could do something. But it's too late now. That means it's too late. But not only Mary, Martha, but look at people in funeral, the Jews, general, you know, all the Jews who were at the funeral in verse 37. And some of them said, some of the people who were at the funeral, could not this man, means Jesus, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? That means they didn't believe that Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. So people in Israel didn't have so great faith. That's why Jesus said, I haven't seen so great faith, not even Israel. So they had to see something to believe. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, guess what happened? Read verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, this is after Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, believed on him. After they had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Is that biblical faith? To see and then to believe? It's not a biblical faith. What is the biblical faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, the faith is what? Substance of things, not things. Evidence of things, not things. And substance of what? What was that? Can you repeat that? Let me go to Hebrews and 11. Sometimes I make mistake when I quote the verse in English. It's not easy for me to preach in English, but I'm going to look at it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not seen. I haven't seen heaven, but I believe that there is heaven. I haven't seen Jesus, but I believe that he died on the cross for me. So I haven't seen the creation, if God created heaven and earth, or evolution happened, but I believe that God created it. I haven't seen it, but that's faith. You have to have faith in God's word. Believe that he created the universe, but not only he created the universe, he died on the cross for your sins. And by trusting him, I believe that I'm going to go to heaven for sure. There is guarantee. Why? Because Jesus said, you know, Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, you have to believe on God's word. You have to have biblical faith without seeing miracles, without seeing answers to your prayer. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he said, maybe, I'm going to answer, but later on. So you need to be patient and have faith in God. So there are three things about faith, three facts. Number one, faith takes some risk. Faith takes some risk. In verse 39, you know, Jesus came and he said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wanted to do a miracle. And Martha said, Lord, he stinketh by this time. He stinketh, and he's been dead for 4 days. So there was risk there. What if Jesus wasn't able to raise Lazarus from the dead? She would have been embarrassed because the dead flesh, in the flesh of Lazarus, the dead body would defile the Jews there. For the Jews, the dead body was something bad and that would defile the people. So she was caring about her own glory. She didn't want to be embarrassed. Have you been in a situation that you wanted to witness to somebody, but you were embarrassed to talk to him and tell him about Jesus? Maybe sitting on the airplane and somebody next to you, you could tell him how to be saved, but you didn't because you were ashamed, you were embarrassed, you cared about your glory. And Jesus, look at what Jesus said in verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said not I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Jesus wanted to show his glory, the glory of God. But Martha cared about her glory. She was embarrassed. She wanted to stop God, stop Jesus to perform a miracle, to raise her brother from the dead. What a mistake. So faith takes some risk. You have to believe in God's word. And even if you lose something, you have to take that risk and accept it. Let God do a miracle. When I got saved, I had a business. I had a transportation company. I had 3 trucks and four or five drivers working for me, and I was making good money, and And the Lord, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and I wanted to serve the Lord. But this busyness that I had kept me so busy, so I wasn't able to serve the Lord. So I said, Lord, I don't know. I want to serve you, but I don't know how to do this. I have no time. And I was reading the Bible. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon together. And I was convicted, but I said, Lord, are you telling me that I have to give up my business and like go to Bible college? And somebody told me to go to Bible. I said, Lord, you want me to go to Bible college? And who's going to provide my needs? I don't have any family in Australia. I don't have any friends, nobody to support me. How am I going to live without working? And so I was just thinking about it and praying about it. And I lost one of the jobs that with one truck. I was delivering bread from bakery to the stores and some groceries to homes and everything. So three trucks. I lost one job with one truck. So one truck went out of business. So I was looking for another job, another contract with another company. I was looking for a job. After 1 week, I lost the other two as well. I lost all three trucks, jobs and everything. I said, there is a message in this. God was speaking to me. I knew that God was telling me to give up, close down my company and go to Bible college. So I did. I said, Lord, okay, I know what you're telling me. I'm going to give up. I closed down my company. I sold the trucks. Even those trucks, three trucks, I sold them in like a few days. It can take you like for a year to sell three trucks. It can take a long time. But if I was able to sell them in two, 3 days, it was a miracle because God wanted to that happen. So I sold them and I went to Bible college for 2 years. I didn't have any job. So I was, because I didn't know English much, so I had to learn English and I had to learn the Bible at Bible college to be equipped to preach the gospel. So I gave up a lot. I lost a lot of money and business and I didn't have income for 2 years. And after 2 years, I was able to work a part-time job in a bus company driving public buses. But I gave up a lot of money. But the Lord blessed me spiritually. I was able to lead over 500 Muslims to the Lord. Many of them got saved and they love the Lord now. This man that I led to the Lord, he took over my ministry when I came to America last year. So he's leading the church. He loves the Lord. So you see, I lost a lot. But God blessed me spiritually a lot. I know that those 500 souls that have been saved, that's a reward for me. That's going to last for all eternity in heaven. But you make money. You gain all the world. Are you going to be able to take anything with you to the next world? You're not going to be able to do that. But thank God that I made that decision on that day to give up my business, to go to Bible college, to be blessed and lead many to the Lord. So faith takes some risk. You have to accept that there is risk. And even if you give up, sacrifice, accept it and give up and serve the Lord. The Lord is going to bless you, but He's going to supply all your needs. And number two, without work, without faith, God won't work. You know, Jesus went to Nazareth, and because of their unbelief, they didn't receive Him, they rejected Him. Jesus didn't do many miracles there. He didn't do many miracles. God didn't work. Why? Because of their unbeliefs. And He went there, His hometown, where He grew up, they rejected Him. So He didn't do many miracles. Well, because of unbelief. So if you don't have faith in God's words, if you don't have faith in the power of the gospel, God won't work through you. Because you're not going to share the gospel and God won't use you. You need to have faith in God's word. Have faith that gospel has the power still. Yes. And God is able to save souls through the gospel. So have faith and share the gospel with people. And I've been able to, even through this deputation that I've been able to lead Muslims to the Lord. I was able to speak in one of the Every Nation Baptist Church in Charlotte, in North Carolina. And pastor's wife is your sister, or his sister is your wife, right?
Joanna's brother, my wife's
brother. There we go. Pastor John told me, he said, I've got a friend, a Persian couple, Afghani couple from Afghanistan. We've been friends for like 7-8 years. I told them the gospel many times, but they don't want to get saved. Would you be able to come and witness to him? I said, sure. So he made an appointment, and I had confidence in the power of the gospel. So I went there, and we sat together. I went through the gospel with them, with this Afghani couple, for 3 hours. After explaining the gospel for 3 hours, they both bowed their heads and they prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, without faith, God won't work. You need to have faith and sacrifice. You know, it takes time. You have to sacrifice your time to go and share the gospel, and God is going to bless it and is going to honor it. He's going to save souls. And lastly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God. If you don't have faith in God and His Word, you can't even please God. You have to have faith in God. You need to live by faith, because we get saved by faith and we live by faith in this life, and then we die by faith. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we live by faith and we die by faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you come to God, you must believe that He is. You have to believe that God is. He exists. He sees you, and He has power. He can empower you to bless you, to use you. You have to believe that He is there. He's watching you and He's on the throne. And live by faith and look to Jesus. He is there. And you have to believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you seek Him, seek God first and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's going to add you. He's going to give you all things that you need in this life. You need a car, He's going to give you a car. You need a wife, He's going to give you a wife. I've been praying for many years for a wife. It's been praying, waiting for many years. It was really discouraging, but I didn't give up. I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust You. I prayed in the right time, in the right place. It's amazing that miraculously that God led me to Emily Tyler there so miraculously. Let me tell you, finish with this, how that happened. So I went there to Falls Baptist Church, and after 1 month, I noticed that this church was amazing. People were so godly, and they wanted to serve the Lord, and so different, holy people, very different. I said, Lord, this is the right place to find a godly wife. If You have anybody here for me, would You lead me to her to have conversation with her? I never prayed such a prayer, to have conversation with her and to get to know her and marry her. This is what I prayed. And the next day, I was going to church, Mrs. Zempel, who is pastor's daughter, Pastor Van Gelderen's daughter, she said, we have a music camp this week, and tonight we're going to have a lot of people coming to my home. Would you like to come to our home tonight? I said, sure. So I went there. There were like 70, 80 people, young adults and old people, kids. And so I went there, and I was new. I didn't know anybody there. So I noticed Pastor Van Gelderen's wife, Mrs. Van Gelderen. I wanted to go and say hi to her. At the same time as I was going to say hi to her, Emily came from the other direction to say hi to her as well. So I said, hi, Mrs. Van Gelderen, and everything. And she left quickly, and I stood there with Emily. I said, hello. And she said, hi. And I said, what's your name? She said, I'm Emily Tyler. And so we got to talk like for 10, 15 minutes there. And they have high standard there because of the college. And you're not allowed to talk to your girl alone. You need to have chaperone, and, you know, you need to be with people to talk. So I noticed that. I said, well, that's weird. I'm talking to a girl like alone. I said, well, it was good to meet you, Emily. I'll let you go and get your food. They had a table and chairs, and they had food in the backyard. And I said, I'll let you go and get your food. And so she got her food. And after her, I went. I served my dinner on my plate. And I was looking for a chair somewhere to sit. And I noticed that all the chairs were gone. Everybody was sitting somewhere. And I noticed that there was one empty chair next to Emily. I said, oh, no, I can't sit next to Emily because people will think that I'm chasing after her or something. But I said, oh, I think that's the only one. I have to go and sit next to her. She was not by herself. There were people around the table, but it was just next to Emily. So I went, sat next to Emily, and I started to talk to her again. And she told me about her mission trip to Germany. And so we got to talk together, have another conversation, like 10 minutes there, like half an hour, actually more for dinner, like half an hour. And then we went inside, and kids were playing violin, and And she came around and she wanted to talk to me again. I noticed that she was interested in talking to me. So I had another conversation. Three times I had just wonderful conversation with her and I just enjoyed it. So I went home. I said, Lord, did you answer my prayer? Or was that my feeling, that emotion that I just loved her? Lord, I don't want to trust my feelings. I don't want to make decisions based on my feelings. If that was you, if you answered my prayer, would you give me confirmation so I can make decision based on your promises? Give me confirmation. So next day I called Mrs. Zempel. I said, Mrs. Zempel, I've been praying for a wife, and I met this girl at your home last night. Her name is Emily Tyler. Do you know her? She said, yes, I know her, and I've been mentoring her for the last 10 years. Like, I've been her mother, literally, for 10 years. I said, wow. And she said, do you think she's a good, godly girl? She's going to serve the Lord? She said, yes, I believe that she is very good and sweet and godly Christian, and she wants to serve the Lord. And in fact, believe it or not, I've been praying for you for a month to notice Emily. I said, what? You've been praying for me to notice Emily for a month? She said, yes. I said, wow, this is a confirmation. Praise the Lord. I took it because she's been praying for me. There are a lot of young people there, a lot of girls there. But she's been praying for me to notice Emily out of many people. I said, thank you, Lord, that you confirmed with me my prayer. So I called her father and I got blessing and I was able to start courtship. And in March the 1st, I proposed to her and she said yes. And now we're going to get married in August 17th, Lord willing. So God is good, isn't He? Amen. So faith takes some risk, my friends. You need to take that risk and accept it. And even if you give up something, money, income, or whatever, you need to accept it and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what I lose. And then without faith, God won't work. You need to have faith. And live by faith and give out tracts and talk to people. Have faith that the gospel that you're going to share, it's going to impact the people that you're sharing. And then without faith, it's impossible to please God. You need to live by faith and die by faith in Jesus Christ. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor. You want to close in prayer? Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Amen. All God's people said, amen. What an encouragement Brother Michael's testimony is, and the work that the Lord is doing. We're grateful to hear about that. And I just couldn't help think, church, during his testimony of what God was doing in Iran and through some of those folks that he's been able to lead to the Lord, how blessed we are. And as I prayed before, just the freedoms we have. And I believe God is speaking to us tonight, church. And I, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm not. I believe in keeping things positive, but I do want to say this because it could be very much a reality. There's no threatenings that I know of, pressing threatenings, but you know, we could lose our liberties like this. I mean, I know we see it. It seems like Hollywood to us because if you're with me, I can't get my mind wrapped around a country like China. Okay, or Russia invading our country and pretty much just taking over, imprisoning Christians, things of that nature. But I'm telling you, it could happen. I hope it doesn't, but it could. And one of the things I think about that is Americans, and when we see in the scriptures, I look at Belteshazzar, I think about Daniel, when they were all having their fiasco there and their partying going on. They didn't have a worry in the world, so to speak. They're indestructible, thinking in their minds. I'm afraid sometimes that creeps into the Christian mind, that we are untouchable and that we are fine the way we are. Nothing's ever going to happen. But folks, we need not think that. That's a lie of the devil. We need to be humble before the Lord and say, dear God, thank you for this liberty, number one, that you've given us. And Lord, dear God, please do not let us take it for granted. Let us be motivated to share the gospel with the power of God on our lives. To tell people we're not even going to be persecuted for it. We might be told no. We might be laughed at. But that's the worst that we could possibly experience for our faith in this season that God has given us. And I trust that the message tonight was an encouragement and helped you. And I think about the importance of stepping out by faith And I believe the Lord, and I believe the Lord is also teaching us something. I remember last week when Dr. Stevens was here, he challenged us from John chapter 11. Some different thoughts, but same passage. And I think about the fact that perhaps the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight, church, about our faith. Do we really believe that God can do a miracle in our midst? The people that are around us, even in our own lives, awakening us so that we might see people transformed by the gospel. Do we believe that? Do we believe God's Spirit can move upon this place in an unusual fashion? And I think tonight it would be very appropriate during the invitation for us just to cry out to God from our hearts to ask Him to renew us in our faith. To believe that God can, that He might look down on members of Crooked Creek Baptist Church and say something like that, "I have seen no faith in all of Israel." This man that just simply believed that Jesus Christ, who He was, believed who He says He was and what He said He could do, and he believed it. And that's what I want our testimony to be tonight. So let's spend some time in prayer right now and just speak to the Lord, and let's ask Him to renew our faith.